You ready up there? Please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. Hey, let me just go back. I'm going to actually proceed backwards. We'll start in Luke's Gospel, and then we'll turn to Matthew. Luke chapter 10. Familiar story, familiar account in history of Martha and Mary in Martha's house. I often liken this account to an application of the previous parable where the Lord spoke of the Good Samaritan rescuing the person that was assaulted, the person who was robbed of his blessing. Well, the Lord Jesus, immediately after this parable, goes to rescue Martha from her busyness and her anxiety. And it just struck me one time, whether you feel that's a proper application or not, I certainly feel the Lord was rescuing Martha from her agitated state, whether or not you want to call him the Good Samaritan here. But I want you also to notice, after this account at the end of Luke 10, there's also a correlation with this account in the beginning of chapter 11. Verses 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. He also has been a source of conjecture. Does also mean that Mary or Martha had been sitting at Jesus' feet earlier? Or does the also mean that Mary was also helping to clean the house, but and had certainly pitched in when she was there, but for now she was taking advantage of the presence of Christ? So you can see how you can look at it at least in those two ways. Perhaps there are other ways to look at it. It's hard to conclude exactly how to explain the also. Certainly we can say that Mary wasn't a lazy person. If she was, the Lord would have addressed that. And Martha was not a carnal person altogether. She was a very godly woman, so this agitation was not something that necessarily characterized her altogether previously. It was something that, like that person assaulted, like that robber, it robbed her for the time being of her blessing, and the Lord was rescuing her. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And then I'll keep my thoughts and bring you back to the first part of chapter 11 a little bit later. But one verse in Matthew 6 I want us to focus on this afternoon. Matthew chapter 6. Our text is verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I want that text to be blazed into our minds and hearts today. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I was praying that the Lord would give a year closing and a year opening message, really at the hinge of of 2009 and 10 that we would desperately need, and I feel that he has led us to this text. Early in Jesus' ministry, he taught, this is very early in his ministry, he taught and reminded his disciples that in each one of them, because notice the singular, but thou, not ye, thou. The nice thing about the Old English is that thou and ye give you the singular and plural, where the modern English, you can't tell whether it's singular or plural unless you read the whole sentence and you see the context. The Lord taught his disciples that each one of them is to have a quiet time alone with God. It's not if ye pray, if thou prayest. Notice he says when thou prayest. He's assuming and he's instructing them about a quiet time with God. I want us to think about that at the close of this year and the beginning of a new year. Alone with God. Is that something that has characterized you in 2009, that you have spent time alone with God? Or is it something that you have to say, I have let slip? The busyness, the din of life. I've had a Martha syndrome. I have been troubled and agitated about many things, and frankly, they have distracted me from the Lord. If that be the case, thank God. In either case, whether it's encouraging you to continue in your fellowship with God or urging you to resume, thank God for His grace today. It's not saying ye, just only implying public worship. That is necessary. For later on, he teaches them about public worship, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. He's assuming they're going to have corporate prayer. Our means you're with someone, at least one other person. So we know that the Lord taught corporate worship, public prayer meetings. But here he's teaching individual prayer meetings. He's not saying weekly or just speaking regularly about a weekly meeting. Not even saying as often as, like he said to the Lord about the Lord's table. As often as could be once a week, it could be twice a week, but certainly as often as does not mean daily. I do believe the Lord is certainly indicating it, if not daily, very close to being daily. I don't know, maybe you all would agree that the Lord is indicating at least daily with this statement, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Do you desire to be alone with God, with the God of the universe? Do you see it as a privilege to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you profited from your alone time with God? Whether or not you perceive the profit, God promises profitableness. I want us to take those statements as particular indications of our quiet times with the Lord. Enter into thy closet says schedule the time. You'll never spend time with the Lord and you don't plan it. It's just like any other habit of life. No habit can ever become so unless you start it and plan it. Enter into thy closet is to schedule, to plan an alone time with God. Shut thy door is saying concentrate with your in your quiet time. Pray to thy Father, engage in your quiet time, and he will reward thee or he will repay thee. Expect profit. The Lord never is he's no one's debtor. He never commands us to do anything that does not bring honor to him and profit to our souls. So I want us to consider getting alone with God, spending quiet times with the Lord today. And I trust the Lord will use it as a jolt and as a reminder throughout the new year. A reminder and a lesson on spending time alone with God in this world of busyness and all kinds of distractions. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Lord is saying we need to schedule the time. We need to plan the time. He's speaking here of a habit, of a practice, of a routine, of a rule, if you will. Remember it says of the Lord and the Apostle Paul, as his manner was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What is the Scripture teaching us there? That it was a rule in the Lord's life. It was his habit. It was Paul's habit to be in the Lord's house, spoken of as the synagogue then, on the day of worship, on the Sabbath day. And of course, you say, why was that the case? Well, because they knew the Scripture's teaching on that, the Lord's precedent in the Old Testament. Of course, we have verses like, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, it was almost like a sixth sense. It was instinct. It was something that was assumed. You think of the instinct of animals. They go for food to bed. No one has to tell them that. And God's people should be such in the habit of doing the things that Christ has commanded that it becomes almost an instinct. But having said that, we have to be very careful that we don't lose our heart and mind by the godly habits or biblical traditions. And again, don't be afraid of that word. Paul used it, and the Authorized Version says, uses the word traditions in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, talking about biblical habits, biblical routines. Be careful in our routines that we're not routine in our hearts. The context in the Sermon on the Mount, the practices of heaven-bound saints. What is he teaching? He's giving instruction on the things which I am commanding you to do as heaven-bound saints. Remember he said to his disciples before they left, you make disciples of all nations, you baptize them, and you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So what did he command his disciples? He commanded them to have quiet times with the Lord. This is part of an instruction that any Christian should have with a new convert. What should we be instructing new converts? The basics. Spend time alone with God every day. Be in God's house when the public services are scheduled. These are basics, but part of the command of the Lord, the practices of heaven-bound saints. And of course, I read to you Luke 10, which gives us an example. Technically, you have two here, but yet this wasn't a public worship service. Martha's house wasn't a church, wasn't a synagogue. The Lord had personally, think about that, he had personally come to her house to give a quiet time for Martha and Mary. Were there others there? Perhaps. Perhaps there were apostles there too. But nonetheless, it was a private session. It still fits. It says Mary chose. You see, there was a plan here. She was willing. And you have to choose to take time or you won't. You have to schedule it in. Whether it's morning or evening for you, some of us are owls, and I'm not an owl. Some of us are early birds, but whatever is the best time to concentrate, that's the time to spend time with the Lord. And the example is there. The Lord Jesus, remember, was often alone with God, spent the night with the Lord, and he set the example of being alone with God. Of course, in Matthew 6:6, it refers technically only to prayer. But you have to remember, when the Lord Jesus taught quiet time, they didn't have scriptures. You know, we would say, well, in your quiet time with the Lord, we should read our Bibles and pray. But the Bible doesn't say here, when thou readest the scriptures, enter into thy closet. They had no conception at that time of having a personal copy of the scriptures. Their copies were in the synagogues. And if you were rich, you might have a scroll of some portion. Or, you know, was it the eunuch on the way to Africa that he had at least a portion, if not the whole scroll of Isaiah? But you had to be rich in order to have your own personal copies of the Scriptures. We are so blessed, and yet we really lose the conception of the privilege that we have. I have Genesis through Revelation in my hands. And the Lord deliver us from such a terrible presumption. One day, you know, it might come that we have to spend thousands of dollars for a Bible. You say, oh, that would never happen. It could happen. Still people in the world that don't have their own personal copies of the Scripture, and probably never will have. So when I say that the Lord specifically refers to prayer closet, obviously, as we anticipate, we're 2,000 years past and we have Scriptures. So, in Revelation, for instance, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear, because they only had one copy. So in the synagogue or in the church in those days, Paul talked about spreading these letters to other churches to read because they didn't have personal copies. But now we would certainly factor in the fact that we have Scriptures. And in this verse, indeed, the Lord would be saying, when you read and pray, enter into your closet, read and pray after the door has been shut, and your Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. And so when he speaks about prayer, he speaks about confession, intercession, petitions, and thanksgivings. And we would certainly encourage each other to read Scripture enough where we can say that I think that a Christian should read through the Bible in at least 5 years. I know that we're challenged to read through the Bible in a year, but certainly we don't want to put guilt upon people that are slower readers, for instance. But I think everybody should be making his or her way through the Scriptures to see that you can indeed, when you're talking to someone, say there are no contradictions. Well, have you read through the Bible? No, I haven't. Well, how can you say there are no contradictions if you haven't read through the Bible? If the Bible is God's Word, and I've read through, you know, you can hear, talk to people who have read through all kinds of worldly books several times. It'd be a shame for a Christian who's read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress through many times has never read the Bible through. As nice, as fine a book as Pilgrim's Progress is. But we're talking about a quiet time with God. You've got to plan it, brother and sister. It'll never become a habit. I don't know why it didn't become a habit for me, and I hope you won't mind me just getting on a little rabbit trail as my time is ticking by so quickly. But I confess, it was until my third year as a Christian that I can distinctly remember having a quiet time with God. I suppose it's because I fought the world so much as a freshman, but I had three roommates as a freshman in a dormitory at West Virginia University, but I don't remember having quiet times that full year. My second year, I lived with three Christians in an apartment, and I don't remember, to my shame, having quiet times. And the strange thing is, I had 9 roommates my third year. You would have thought that was the worst year of ever being able to have. But what happened was that I was supposed to room with one of the 9 guys. I think 5 of them were professing believers and 4 were not. It was in just a house. And I noticed there was an attic room, just top of the house. You had to duck to get in, and it was like a triangle, and you could fit a little bed there, and nothing much else. And I said to the son who was the son of the owner, can I take that room? He said, it's going to be cold up there. Nobody sleeps up there. I said, I really would like it. I'd like to be alone. And you know, that was the Lord's, I felt the Lord's providence, because it just gelled on me once I took that room that I'm now alone. And the Lord just impressed upon me to begin going through the Scriptures on my own and spending time with the Lord. And I really marked the beginning of my Christian life, so to speak, my growth in that particular year on Junior Avenue in Morgantown, West Virginia. It was really an upper room for me, but it was my closet, literally, spending time with the Lord. And obviously a key is it a priority to you? Are you convinced of the priority? You've got to be convinced. And I can stand here and say it's important. And I can say, look, Christ is teaching this. But it's got to come to your heart. What's most important to you? What are priorities in your life? And you say, well, work's a priority. I have to be at work tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock or I won't get paid. What's the motivation? I won't get paid. You know, I got to do this regularly. I'm going to eat. You know, we always eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Why? Well, body's going to deteriorate. But are you convinced of being alone with God? Maybe the deceitful part is we can't necessarily see the deterioration of our soul immediately. We can't see it. But after a while, it begins to show. Impatience and agitation and unforgiveness and poor decision making and what have you. It just begins to show if you're a believer. You've got to be convinced. Or you this message will just go right over your head today. I don't want it to. I want it to strike my heart again. Because it's so easy to drift. You have to sense God's worthiness. It's the God of the universe that invites you to spend time with Him. That alone should be motivation. Secondly, it says, after you've scheduled the time, you've got to shut the door. When you get alone with God, you leave the door open. In other words, look, let me just say, when thou prayest, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father in secret shall reward thee openly. He could have just never made perfect sense. Wherever you pray. Or he could have said, go to your room, or go out in the woods, or what have you, and pray. But he specifically takes the moment to say, shut the door. He's obviously saying something. It's not just enter into thy room and pray, but enter into thy room and shut thy door. Obviously he's saying avoid, here's our word again, avoid perfunctory, mindless, robotic worship. Lord, deliver us from just nodding our heads and just being there and not having a heart. Christianity is heart worship. He wants our hearts. And if we have computers, I mean, think about this. I think the worst place to have your devotions is a room with your computer, your cell phone, the TV, the radio, and everything at your disposal. You can say, well, that's the best room because I can read my... Oh, you understand what I'm saying. The temptations are right there. The phone rings and your computer's on. Oh, you know, I didn't... You're not paying attention. I mean, what would it be like in a church service? Everybody had their computer and we were in the cell phones. You ever heard a cell phone go off? I had a cell phone go off in my pocket one day preaching the sermon. But shut the door is saying the Lord wants our hearts. He wants us to concentrate, to focus. And I know what it's like to be at college and I needed to get away from my dormitory room. I really couldn't even go to the prayer room and have my devotions because you had so many guys around praying and, you know, some of them were praying somewhat out loud and just the ruffling of the pages. I couldn't do that either. Now, maybe you can, but what I'm saying is the Lord is saying, look, when you get in that prayer place, wherever it is, maybe it's a stump for you out in the woods, maybe it's a closet down in the basement, whatever, wherever it is, shut out the world. Shut out the busyness. Spend time with God. He wants our individual, undivided attention. And doesn't He deserve it? He's the God of the universe. He's the Savior who gave Himself for us. It's logical. He's saying, look, if you want spiritual growth, you've got to pay attention to what you're reading so that you can think about it and apply it. You want to be ready for temptation, you better learn some statements that I'm giving you that are going to help you in times of temptation. You want to learn about God, I'll teach you theology, but you have to listen. You want to learn that he's everywhere at the same time. You want to learn how to reach souls? Well, you need to read the accounts of soul winners like Christ and Paul. You want to learn how to parent or pastor or be a good brother or sister, you need to read the accounts of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and John and James and so on. I'm just basically skimming some thoughts here, but schedule the time, concentrate, focus on in your quiet time. Thirdly, pray to your Father who is in secret. In other words, you can go in, you can schedule the time and shut the door and never really engage. Have you ever had that happen? Schedule the time, you shut the door, and you fall asleep. Happens all the time, doesn't it? We be frank with ourselves. We need, that's where the devil fights us. You say, the devil isn't going to fight me inside the door shut. I tell you, isn't it amazing? You can half the battle is scheduling it and shutting the door, but the other half is engaging. Can you not watch with me an hour, the Lord said to the disciples? Daydreaming, distractions. You can have distractions without a computer and a cell phone and a radio and an iPod, whatever. Now they have Game Boys, Game Girls. I don't know what they're all. I just can't believe all the things are at the fingertips of people. And they're supposed to be to help us, and they can if they're all in their right order. So what's the Lord saying? Pray. Let that be the dominant. Obviously, fellowship with God. Confess your sins. Thank God for His blessings. But we can obviously factor in the fact He's saying, read. Search the Scriptures. Write down thoughts that God has brought to your mind. Pray again. Meditate on what you're reading. Sing. Let that be a time of singing. Maybe not so loud for most of us. Believe what you're reading. What is the Lord saying? I want your fellowship. I want you to commune with me. I want you to pray. I want you to read. I want you to meditate. I want you to sing. I want you to draw near to me. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. We've got to engage our hearts when we get in our prayer closets after we've shut the door. And finally, He says, and my Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You have to believe that there is profit. God is no one's debtor. God is no debtor to souls who invest their time and their lives with Him. You know, time with God is your best spent time. If you don't spend time with God, you won't be a good husband, a good wife, a good brother or sister. You won't have your soul saturated in the presence of God. Moses came out, and he was the greatest influence to Israel. He came out with his face aglow. And it put fear in the nation. It put fear in the people. That's what they needed. This is what happens when people spend time with the God of the universe. They glow with His presence. That's what the world needs. We're so used to, the world's so used to people that are drunk, and drunk with pride, and drunk with self-centeredness. And it's mine, you know, self-centeredness and stinginess. We're trying to learn on the bus to be, you know, try to teach the younger kids, let the girls go out first. And it's like pulling their hair out, not all of them, but to let the girls out first. But the world is used to carnal people. You know, the world's not used to people that say thank you, people that say forgive me, people that say I care for your soul, people that give them a gift of the message of the gospel, people that are sincere. They're used to professing Christians thrusting themselves on them. But they're not used to people graciously and tactfully and really sincerely bringing the message. You see, time with God will be well spent. Expect profit, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Expect blessing from obedience to Christ's commands. You say, what will be that which I should expect? What are you looking for? Are you looking for riches? I don't think that's what He means. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to help you be a salt and light in the world. He's going to let your light shine before men, and they'll see your good works and glorify your Father. He'll help you to be a better parent. You will be. You'll start to love your children more. You'll start to love your spouse more. You'll start to forgive people and not hold grudges. You'll start to think outwardly and not inwardly all the time. You'll start to think, have the mind of Christ. You want to be a servant more than, you want to give more than receive. This is a time of year we need to learn to give, don't we? Psalm 92 gives us the results of spending a whole day in God's presence. It says they that are brought up in the, and I'm paraphrasing, in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. In other words, to show that the Lord's command to spend time in public worship was profitable. Now, apply that to what he's saying here. You'll flourish in the courts of our God, the courts where the people were, where you went out ministering. You'll flourish in the courts. You'll be an influence in society. You'll have an impact upon the culture. You'll care for people, and people will go to you for advice and know that if they need the truth, they can approach you and you'll have something for them. You'll be able to bring forth fruit in old age. Though you retire in your job, you'll never retire. You'll be growing still as an 80-year-old man and woman. You ever seen Christians or professing Christians that just peter out and they don't seem to grow after a certain point? Or they only go so far and no more? Don't you want to say, when you're 90, I'm still growing? They'll be fat and flourishing. In other words, there'll be tangible growth. You'll be able to help others. Time alone with God is best spent time. Are these important to us? These commands of the Lord? Will presumption work better than being alone with God? Well, I'll just grow. I'll be all right. Is that going to help us? I'll continue as I am. I'll read a verse or two once in a while. I'll say a prayer. Are these things going to better work for us than being alone with God? My challenge is to get alone with God. If you haven't, stay alone with God. Keep it up. The devil's going to fight tooth and nail to keep us from our special times with the Lord. Remember Nicodemus, when he got alone with Christ, he was never the same, was he? We need to prioritize it. We need to plan it. We need to concentrate, shut the door. We need to engage after the door is shut. And when we leave, as Jesus, it says, left the place of prayer, but he went in the power of the Spirit. And he went and what works were done by him. And he showed us practically it was his time spent with God. We need to leave the prayer closet every day believing that God is going to bless that time spent with him and use us as salt and light. May we be able to say every day, what a sweet hour of prayer it was. What a sweet hour of prayer. Oh Lord, help us to take your command seriously. We thank you, Lord, that you don't command us to do that which is unprofitable. And though sometimes you command us things that are unpleasant, Lord, we confess that this is the most pleasant thing, to spend time with the God of the universe and the Savior of our souls. Truly, Lord, we can say when we have spent time with Thee that gracious words proceed out of Your mouth. Lord, You have the eyes as a flame of fire, and You see exactly what we need and who we are, and we need time with Thee. And Lord, what a gracious thing and a loving thing it is for You to want to be with us. Forgive our neglect, Lord. Forgive my neglect. How often, Lord, I go into the closet just looking for sermons and not just to spend time with Thee. Help us, we pray, in the days to come to be believers that spend time with God. And Lord, we pray that You would reward us openly, not that we would be seen as people that spend time with God. Forgive that pride, Lord. But that, Lord, that others would benefit
that we would see people converted, people helped along the way. We would be spent. We would spend ourselves and be spent for Thee. Dismiss us with a sense of Your presence and let us go forth in the power of the Spirit until You come again. May the Lord be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.